morning we turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews and the first chapter of that epistle. And let me say, to introduce what is on my heart this morning, that the author's name is not given in this epistle, which is somewhat unusual, but there are very strong reasons for believing that the Apostle Paul wrote this letter to believing Jews which were living in Judea and probably in the capital of Jerusalem. We know that he speaks of the first witnesses to the gospel whose ministry was confirmed, as if his readers know all about that. They would, of course, if they were Jews. He speaks a great deal of the temple and its sacrificial system, as if he's aware that the Jews would also be familiar with that. And he speaks in chapter 10 of strong persecution experienced because they were believers. And we know from the book of Acts that there was strong persecution in Jerusalem. So it seems that two of the greatest epistles which the apostle penned, one was to the capital of the Jews, Jerusalem, this epistle, and the other, Romans, was to the capital of the Gentile world, Rome itself. The year for the writing of this epistle was probably AD 62, shortly before the close of Paul's first imprisonment. We know that subsequently he was released and he travelled to various parts. In this first chapter, Paul's purpose is to show that Christ is fully divine. He concentrates here upon the divine nature of the Lord Jesus Christ, as in chapter 2, he will deal with the human nature of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in order to demonstrate that Christ is fully divine, that is, fully God, he refers time and again to the Old Testament scriptures. And if you read this chapter carefully, you will find that most of his quotations are from the Psalms, if not all of them. And he begins with Psalm 2 and verse 7, then Psalm 89 and verses 26 and 7, then Psalm 97, then Psalm 104, verse 4, and so on. And then he comes to the last quotation, and this quotation is from verse 10 through to verse 12. And these are the words which I hope to consider with you in just a few moments. But we'll read them again. We've read them already in the 102nd Psalm from which they're quoted. But here they are as quoted by the Apostle. Hebrews 1, verse 10. And thou, Lord, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remainest. They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. And they shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. And as I reread those words this week, one or two of the expressions came very powerfully to my heart. And I want to just extract, if I may, some of the words in this quotation. The first is found in verse 11, where, speaking of the heavens and the earth, he says, they shall perish. And then we have this, but thou remainest. Thou remainest. Now remember that the apostle is quoting these words to prove the divinity of Christ. And this quotation, in fact, begins in verse 10, "Thou Lord," speaking of one who is Lord. The Greek word here, kurios, clearly refers to God. It's the New Testament word which often represents the Old Testament name, Jehovah. So the one in view here is the Lord. And he made the universe. Thou, Lord, verse 10, in the beginning hast laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. Not only is he given the name of the Lord, but ascribed to him is a work peculiarly divine. He is the creator of the entire universe. And these things which now we see and admire are the works of his hands. And he will bring these things to an end, causing them no longer to continue in their present form. We read in verse 11, "They all shall wax old as doth a garment, and as a vesture shalt thou fold them up." So the one in view here, Christ himself, is given the name Lord. He is it is ascribed to him the work of creation and also the end of the world as we presently know it will also be brought about by him. As it's written in the prophets, "I will shake the heavens and the earth will remove out of her place." And in the New Testament, in 2 Peter 3 and verse 11, it speaks of the day of the Lord that will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, the earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. What tremendous statements they are here. He, that is Christ Jesus, is the Lord. He is Jehovah. He is divinity itself. He is the great creator. And he will be the one who winds up history in the great change which will take place at the end of time. And then we have this thought that even though these created things in their present form shall perish, yet Scripture says there in verse 11, "But thou remainest." And what a powerful comment that is. Thou remainest. It shows something immediately of our Lord's excellence. Herein he differs from the whole of creation. Everything in creation had a beginning and will have an end, but not so the Lord. The world may end, but whatever happens, he will not end. Neither will he be removed. Neither will he be consigned to history. He is the living God. And we can say of him as here, "But thou remainest." We look around this world and decay may appear in the fabric of our world, but no decay will ever take hold of him. Neither will he ever be in some subtle, mysterious way corrupted or destroyed. Thou remainest with all the changes and all the fading aspects of the world and its diminishing glory as the years passed. Thou art different. That is what the apostle is saying with reference to Christ. thou remainest, God over all, blessed forevermore. The qualities in everything else may weaken, but not in him. His qualities, his powers are not diminished in any way. We see that in the way he looks after his people, as he himself said to the Father in John 17:12, those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost. In other words, I haven't been weakened. My arm is not weak. My power to save is not weakened. I save them and I keep them, and not one of them is lost on account of diminishing strength. I am as strong as ever I was, and I will keep them to the end. Thou remainest. And even though one day there will be convulsions in the universe, the wreck of matter, the crash of worlds, as it's been described, as he cannot be adversely affected. Even at the end of time, even in the great conflagration, even as the history of the world is wound up in one cataclysmic climax, he will remain. The scripture says, thou remainest. And what a thought that is. And no wonder the scripture says, trust in the Lord, therefore, forever. For in the Lord Jehovah is the rock of ages. There is no weakening of him. There is no enfeeblement in his experience. His strength is not dried up or exhausted. He is the one who remains. Thou remainest. And he remains, my friends, in all aspects of his person and being. He remains in the strongest relationship with us. He remains as our dearest friend, our closest friend. Scripture says, Proverbs 18:24, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Oh, how the Lord sticks to us. Whatever comes, whatever providence brings to us, whatever experience suddenly makes itself known to us, he's there. He's there with us as a friend who won't be separated from us, but who will always be at hand to comfort us and to support us. No friend like this friend, of whom we can say, thou remainest. What it is to have a friend who fails us in the very time when we need him most. Job's friends were like that. He was struck by calamity after calamity, and his so-called friends gathered round to see what they could do to support him. But what they said and the ideas they expressed were far from helpful. They proved to be false friends in a time of real need. But never will that be true of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is a true friend. He's a good friend. He's a faithful friend. And he will cleave to us in the hour that we need him most. He will not fail us. In the time of trouble, he will be strong in his relationship to us. He will prove himself strong in his protection of us. What does the scripture say? He will be an hiding place from the wind and a covert from the tempest. He will protect us. He will look after us. He will see us through the worst of life's experiences. Thou remainest. Faith can say that. Come what may, though the earth be removed, thou remainest. Thou hast been, the scripture says, of him thou hast been a strength to the poor, a strength to the needy in his distress, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, when the blast of the terrible ones is as a storm against the wall. In such times, when the wind rises to tempest nature, when everything is moved and everything we've relied upon is unsettled, and we fear for the immediate future, thou remainest. That's the hope of the Christian. Thou remainest. It will be all right. It will be well with us because the Savior stays with us. Thou remainest. Yes, my friends, everything else may fail. And if life's experience is anything, it's discovering that there's that inherent weakness in everything in this world. It all fails, but not Him. The Lord in the midst thereof. He will not do iniquity. Every morning doth He bring forth His judgment to light. He faileth not. Thou remainest. Whatever in life disappoints, it can be parents that disappoint us, it can be children that disappoint us, it can be companions and associates that disappoint us. Yes, disappointment is upon everything human and everything earthly, but it's not written upon the Son of God. Thou remainest. He will not let us down. He will not suffer us to grieve in hopeless despair. He will be there at that critical hour. Thou remainest. I think as we reflect upon this last year, maybe for some of us we've lost loved ones and we look back with anguish and with sorrow. We've lost someone we valued so much. We've lost someone we loved so much. But my friends, you will never lose Christ Jesus. Thou remainest, the scripture says. He will be with us always, even unto the end of the world. He remains, you see. He remains. And though you may have lost the love of those that were close to you, you will never, ever lose the Savior's love if once you find it. Because nothing is able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Thou remainest. I just love those words. Thou remainest. Let life bring what it may. Let adversity strike us in the face and bring us to our knees. But it will always be true that He remains. He is a faithful Savior, a faithful Lord, the faithful carer of our souls. Faithfulness, we read in Isaiah 11:5, is the girdle of His loins. He that is seen in the book of Revelation, our Lord Jesus Christ, is called faithful and true. He's described in this epistle at the end of chapter 2 as a merciful and faithful high priest. And that's the essence of it. He is faithful. Has He said, I will keep you? Then He will keep us. Has He said, I will lead you in the darkness and in perplexity? Then He will do that. He will shepherd us into safety and into blessing. Has He said, I will comfort you? Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. Then that's precisely what He will do. Because this cannot be gainsaid. Thou remainest. And it's a great comfort to us, those words. Thou remainest, because even at the end of life, it holds, and it holds true. When our eyes finally grow dim, and earth seems to recede. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Even walking the valley that takes us to the other side of human experience, he will be there walking with us, holding our hand, strengthening our hearts. In that dread hour, thou remainest. And that's his promise. When thou walkest through the waters, I will be with thee. Or as the psalmist says, thou shalt guide me with thy counsel, and afterward receive me to glory. So in this world, he will guide us. There is no time limit to that. There is no qualifying note that might give us fear. I will guide thee while thou dost live and move through the human experience. I will guide thee. You will ever be in my sight. You will ever be the object of my care. I will guide thee through rough places and through smooth, through valleys and over hills. I will guide thee. And afterward, I will still be there. I will receive thee to glory. And at the end of life, when we take those final steps from this world to the next, Christ will be there to welcome us. He will be there to open the gate of paradise to us. He will be there to be our friend forevermore. Thou remainest. Now let me draw your attention to something else here. Another expression that is well worth observing at the end of verse 12. As a vesture shalt thou fold them up, that is, all creation and created things, and they shall be changed, but thou art the same. Thou art the same. Unchanged and unchanging. And of course, this is because he is divine. When Moses asked God, if I'm asked who has sent me to deliver my people Israel, who shall I say has sent me? And the answer was, I am. Not I was, but I'm not what I was. Not I will be, but I'm not yet what I aspire to be. But I am the God who does not change with the passing of time. His being and essence is unchanged and unchanging. His attributes or characteristics, they are unchanged too. We read in the Gospels that Jesus, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them to the end. His love didn't vary. His love didn't weaken. He loved them to the end. The Old Testament says, his compassions fail not. And how thankful we are. We may fail, everything may fail around us, but his compassions fail not. Unchanged, unchanging. His plan for us doesn't change. As he works it out in life, Scripture speaks of the immutability of his counsel. That is, the fact that his plan or purpose doesn't vary. It doesn't change. His word, that doesn't change either. The word of the Lord endureth forever. His bond with us doesn't change. He's in covenant with us. He makes promises to us. He assures us that he will be everything we need whenever we need him. I will not turn away from thee to do thee good. Thou art the same. And in a way, I think that's one of the most wonderful things that can be said of Christ. Thou art the same. Upon everything else, you can write the word change, but not over the Son of God. He's distinguished from everything else and everyone else. He's ever as he was and ever as he will be. Thou art the same. And that is why believers can depend upon him and rely upon him, because he'll never let us down, you see. He is the one who is ever as he was, ever as he will be, the same. And I think of you perhaps facing challenges in this coming year, and you think to yourself, will I cope well with that? Will I endure in this experience? Well, you have one with you who's proved himself time and time again, and he will be the same in 2021 as he was in 2020. Thou art the same. My faith quietly rests there. The one who saved me, the one who has kept me, the one who has led me all these years, is the one who meets me at the beginning of a new year and says, I am the same. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. We may have concerns for the church. It is always the object of Satan's malice. And we identify it for what it is, Satan's malice. And if all hell conspires to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, know this, believer, that he is the same. And he once uttered these words, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We have a Savior and a Defender and a Sovereign Protector this morning who is the same as ever he was. And he who's led us out of difficulty and he who has defended us when we've been under attack is the very same in the midst of us, even today. So our hearts don't quake when hell makes a great shout and a great noise, because he who is in the midst of us is mighty. He will save us. That's what it says here. Thou art the same. So whatever individually or corporately we face, which may lay our hearts low, and that's what the devil wants, of course, to bring us down to darkness and to despair. We answer such thoughts with this thought, Thou art the same. And the God who has saved his church time and time again and saved individual believers time and time again is the God who in Christ is the same today as he was yesterday. And as he will be tomorrow, thou art the same. So faith says, in answer to unbelief, faith says, it will be well. Our Savior will appear for us in the desperate hour. He will overcome on our behalf. He will deal with all who oppose and all who threaten. And he will reign. He will reign in the midst of us. And in our experience as believers, and all will be well. Faith can sing through days of sorrow, all will be well. And it's not because we have superior strength, and it's not because we have a good church structure, and it's not because we are settled in some way and strong in others. It's because he is the same. Wonderful. The mighty God. He is the same, and therefore faith can rest, and it delights to rest on him. Come unto me, and ye shall find rest for your souls. So if my health changes and I become sick and ill, he's the same. I have one in my room looking after me who is the great physician and the one who will not allow any evil to befall me save that which is good for me. He is always the same. Thou art the same. And therefore we do not lose heart and we do not lose hope. The shout of hell may be, you shall fall. The shout of faith is, thou art the same. And therefore we will survive earth's onslaught. And we shall emerge from the sad experience. And he that will be responsible for our emergence is the one who is the same. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. The same to save, the same to keep, the same to shepherd, the same to defend, and the same to glorify. Thou art the same. So the first consideration in this quotation is, thou remainest. The second blessing to me is, thou art the same. And the third and final comfort is at the end of verse 12, thy years shall not fail. And the reason for that, he is the everlasting God. He is the Most High forevermore. Thy years shall not fail. So he will live, and he will live through any trouble we may have, through any sorrow we may feel. He will enter it with us. He will stick close throughout it, and he will take us from it. Thy years shall not fail. And so we greet the future with him. We face the adversity with him, and faith can say, thy years shall not fail. Thou wilt always be true to thy promise, true to thy word, true to our hope. Thy years shall not fail. He has made promises to us, but we all make promises, some of which sadly we break. But when Christ makes a promise, he says, it will be kept because I will be there to keep it. Thy years shall not fail. Have I said that in the time of trouble, I will be with thee? Then I will be, because my years shall not fail. I will be a present help in time of trouble. How can we say that? That he will be present when our need is greatest, because thy years shall not fail. He is always at hand. He is always nigh to us. So when we are pained or shocked or troubled in any way, he's within the reach of a prayer. The Lord is near. And he'll always be in that place, near to his people. Always, because thy years shall not fail. So whatever comes over the horizon, and whatever meets us in life, however shaken we may be, however surprised we may be, even shocked we may be, yet Christ will be within reach. He will be at our right hand. we shall not be moved. And even though that experience may be in the future, even in the distant future, thy years shall not fail. He'll remember his own, whatever may betide. And he will be near to hold us in perfect safety. He will be near to give us a way of escape. He will be near to comfort us as no other can comfort us. He will be near to be our God, our Savior, and our Lord. Thy years shall not fail. And at the end of life, he will bring us across the great divide into the eternal world. He'll be there. He'll be waiting for us when we breathe our last and when the final strength of our bodies expires. He will be there. Thy years shall not fail. And though we look back at that time over decades of experience and reflect on how we met him at conversion and how we came to know him, it's true, isn't it? Through all succeeding years, his years have not failed. Thy years shall not fail. He is forever. And in heaven the believer knows he will be forever with the Lord. Thy years shall not fail even there. Throughout eternal ages, he will be in our experience as the one who makes our heaven to heavens, forever with him, with the Lord, which is far better. To die then is gain, because we find him, never to lose him. He will accompany us and attend us while we have life, while we have being, while immortality endures. Thy years shall not fail. And therefore I cannot envisage a distant point of time where he forsakes me, or I look for him desperately on every side and cannot find him. It will never be. Thy years shall not fail. O believer, you can rest with all your heart on this. He is your everlasting Lord, and he will always be where you need him most. And therefore there will be no great disappointment, no sense of failure. Thy years shall not fail. His friendship is everlasting. His presence is everlasting. And therefore your joy and peace are everlasting. Thy years shall not fail. Thou remainest the same forever. Such is the one to whom we commit ourselves in faith and hope. He will not, he cannot let us down. Thy years shall not fail. Amen.